Opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who have supported me through this journey. Those who have left us will always be in our hearts and never be forgotten. Today, our topic is the beauty of growth. This is a topic for many because it can be such a transformative process that helps people learn to embrace discomfort. Our guest today is Valerie Propsfield. Welcome to the show, Valerie. I am so honored and grateful that you took the time to chat with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. I really appreciate it. I'm so grateful to be here and so excited to be on your show.
Wonderful. How are things with you, Valerie? What's new? What's going on in your world? Give us the tea, the deets. Give us it all. What's going on?
Well, I have, well, I guess what, as of what the time of recording now, Andrew, it's the new year. So that's kind of where I am at, where I'm embracing 2025. And I have been reflecting on 2024, how I guess I've grown in 2024 and what is on the horizon for 2025. So that's really been on my mind over the past week or so. And then otherwise, I have three kids where I am constantly just doing mom life right now, I would say, embracing beautiful chaos. My kids are four, six, and nine. And so they keep me busy. I have a dog that hopefully she won't be barking during our podcast. I have her and my husband, and we are in the Chicagoland area. And it is freezing outside today, but also I'm trying to embrace winter and all of the seasons.
Wonderful. Well, much to pack in there. First off, that's awesome. I learned a lot in 2024. I've embraced it. There was obviously during the year, there's highs, there's lows, there's mediums, there's all kinds of stuff that you have to adjust and adapt to. So I kind of did that. And I even started thinking about 2025 because 2024 just went by like a whim. I don't know. I don't know how I managed, but it just went by so quickly that we just, you know, before I blinked my eyes and we're in 2025.
I know,
that's pretty cool. You got your hands full with three kids for sure, 4, 6, and 9 at a young age. So, I do read a lot of the stuff that you put out there. So for the audience, if you haven't checked out Valerie, you should. She puts out some great stuff on LinkedIn. And I could just see how she just has that strength. Doing what she does, you have to have a lot of patience and a lot of strength to do what you do. So I commend you for everything that you do, for sure.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Andrew. And you as well. You're doing incredible work. Incredible work. I love following you on LinkedIn and following your podcast. It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, listen, before we begin, I always have a fun, thought-provoking question to get things going. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for yours today?
Yes.
Your question, Valerie, is what is the toughest decision you ever made?
That's a good question. That's a good one, Andrew. The toughest decision that I have ever made. I can think of like so many, I feel like so many decisions can be tough, right? We have so many options sometimes in our life, but I guess what comes to me just thinking about that is when I was younger, when I started my career and I was essentially groomed to be a flutist, a music performance. I was in music performance in school and I love performing music. I love being on stage and I enjoy it, but I just knew in my heart that, and it was a very tough decision to think about, okay, what is it that makes me sparkle inside? What is it that I find passion for? Not necessarily what like I was told in my childhood what I needed to do. And that has been a journey, where it wasn't an overnight thing, but it was just a journey in trusting myself and knowing that like those inner voices are something that, you know, they're there for a reason and to kind of be curious about that. And so I decided to essentially, well, back then I added a nursing major and I didn't know what I was, you know, why I was doing it. I remember performing music during the day and doing clinicals at night practically and being like, what am I doing? But then like, I feel like life over the years kind of like revealed to me why I chose that path and kind of leaning into that, leaning into ourselves. But that was so difficult at first because there was all the society expectations of like, of what you're supposed to do, what you were told as a child to do. If that makes sense. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's like the first thing that comes to my mind. I can think of so many other ones too, but that's kind of what I would say back then.
I love that answer. And what I love about that answer is that it goes fitting to our conversation today about growth, because when we're growing into our career and our personal lives, we have to figure stuff out and we have to make tough decisions sometimes. And and that sounds like it was a tough decision for you to make and try to figure out what direction that you wanted to go in, because you probably figured that you couldn't do both because of time constraints and all the work that it entailed for both. So I just love that you... I don't love the fact that you had to struggle with that, but I love the fact that you had to take the time to adapt and figure out what calling it was for you and what direction you wanted to go in. So I do admire that. I think that's pretty cool.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And thanks for giving me such a great answer. And off the hop, not knowing what the question was, that you did pretty good there. Thanks so much for having fun with me. Valerie, why don't we start off with you telling us about yourself and your why?
Sure. Well, thank you so much. So I would say, you know, kind of tying that back into like what I was saying earlier is just we're always growing. We're always learning something new in life. And I think that my why has been this constant journey of embracing myself and embracing imperfection, because I think for the longest time I wanted life to be perfect. I wanted control. I wanted, I really identified with, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson. I don't know if he actually was the one who made this quote, but that's what I saw on the internet back when I was younger, of the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have. I identified with that so much. I'm like, if I keep working hard, if I keep controlling, if I keep doing this, I will have all the success. I will have all the luck and I can control life. I thought I had all the answers. And then, you know, going through music, going through nursing, going through healthcare, I learned things, but I would say my biggest paradigm shift was once I became a mother, because I studied for it. I knew I was going to control it all. But within 10 minutes of my baby being born, my first, she was taken to the NICU. And literally, I saw the control that I had planned my whole life for taken away from me. And I was like, what do I do with this? I thought I planned for this, but I did not at all plan for not having control. And so that is so much of my why, because the more I feel like life throws at me, just in general, we can't control life. And so I really no longer identify with that quote. I do feel like hard work is very important and I still identify so much with it. But also at the same time, there is this element that we just have to kind of roll with the punches sometimes of life. And maybe that's not the best wording, but almost like embracing the seasons of life. Like some days are going to be sunny and warm and you're going to see the sun, and others are going to be overcast and cold and dark. But it's still all beautiful. Like there's still beauty in every season of life. And sometimes it's the hardest seasons that you can learn the most from.
Wow. So much stuff that I want to pack in there. So the first thing I love that you said, growing, learning, and embracing myself and my imperfections.
Yeah.
What I love about that is that in our work life specifically, and I'm going to talk about that because that's what I deal with on a regular basis, we have to understand we're not perfect. We have to understand that there's going to be mistakes that are made. That's what makes us innovative and creative. And we have to understand that if we don't try and if we don't come up with ideas and if we don't adapt, then we're never going to learn. So
absolutely.
A lot of people have said that if you don't try, then you're never going to learn. So we have to try these things. We have to try these ideas. And if they don't work, we just move on to the next. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I wanted to cut in there is when you were talking about the NIC unit and you no longer had control. And we have to understand as well that when we're in a situation where we feel like we're losing control, sometimes it's going to happen, but it's how we react to that situation is going to matter. Especially if you are a leader of an organization, all the eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And if you were not acting in a certain manner, they're going to react to the way that you are. So when that goes, leadership can come in different forms, either parent leadership, coaches are leaders, business owners are leaders. So we all have that reaction of how we are. I'm sure you see it with your kids, the way that you react at home, that's how they're going to react. And it's hard sometimes to realize that. But once we do realize, hey, I'm being watched, how do I handle this situation? That's going to be the key. If you're driving in the car with your kids and they are, and something happens and you go off the rails, well, they're going to go off the rails. If you're calm, with a calm demeanor, they're going to be calm because they're following. Mom is calm. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to follow her. So those are two things that really, really jumped out at me. And then the other thing too about things are not always good. I always say to people, life in general, our work lives, it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. We have to adapt to the times and we have to adapt to the situations for sure.
Absolutely. And I love that you're saying all that, Andrew. I mean, I think that's all so, so relevant. And I love, like, with the reacting stuff, I have had to work on that so much. And I love Viktor Frankl's, what he says about that. He was a famous psychologist, Holocaust survivor, had said, between stimulus and response, there's a space. Mm-hmm. And within that space lies our ability to choose. And our ability to choose allows for our growth and our freedom. Mm. And I may not have said that exactly the way he said it, but I just thought that was so eloquent of that there is a space between stimulus or reaction versus response. And when we lengthen that space, it gives us our freedom. It gives us our ability to choose and our freedom. So I have really worked on that space of how do I lengthen that reaction versus response? Because like you're saying, people are watching. When you're a leader, it's either like your kids are watching or who you work with are watching. Like there is always, and we have that control. And if we don't have control over anything else, we have control of our space. Right. And sometimes that's all we can control.
Mm-hmm. My question to you is to get things going here is what in your mind is the essence of growth? We probably talked a little bit about it, but let's get deeper into it here.
I'd say for me, the essence of growth is within knowing that there is the power of yet. So with Carol Dweck and the growth mindset, and that was a game changer for me when I learned about that. I thought for the longest time, you either pass or you fail. You either made it or you failed. But when I learned about the power of yet and that we're always growing, we're always learning. There is always something that I can work on. And if I am not there right now, if I am reacting too much, or if I'm doing whatever that is, if I'm not being perfect, giving myself that grace and saying, just not yet. And over time, I feel like that has been so helpful for me. And some days are easier or harder than others. Some hours can be, but it's okay. Like we're always growing. We're always embracing that imperfection. And for me, I feel like nature helps me so much to show that of growth and how, you know, like with sunflowers, for example, I love sunflowers. And it's very interesting that young sunflowers, they will rotate. They will literally move to where the sun is. When they're older, they all point in one direction, but they're moving. But you know, Andrew, how they move, their stem goes the opposite way from the sun, which I think is so cool. It's not linear. Like sometimes we have to, you know, it's difficult. It's challenging. Life can be challenging. And there's so many examples in nature and in life of that. So I would say, you know, kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but that's kind of the essence of growth is embracing imperfection and knowing that it's a constant. It's part of life.
It certainly is. I mean, I will add to it. You mentioned always growing. Mm-hmm. Are always growing. We're always trying to get better. Or I think we should be trying to always grow and always get better. So the moment that we feel that we've made it, that's kind of, I think, when we kind of find ourselves getting into a little bit of troubles.
Yes.
I don't think we ever make it. That's my mindset and my growth is that I've never made it. I'm never there. I always seem to be, okay, this is where I am. And now I need to keep going. And what can we learn? And what can we do next time? Next time we have a conversation, what can we do next time? When you're reading something, take something from it. Everything that you're doing, you got to take something from it. And that'll help you to grow and continue to move up for sure.
Absolutely. I think that's so, so true. I love that. I love that, Andrew. Because yeah, we're always growing. And I think that for the longest time, people have said, oh, well, adult brains can't learn new things. Mm. But that's not correct. And studies have revealed that our brains are always learning. There's always like the neurogenesis, the neuroplasticity. It may not be as easy as with when we're younger, but we still are always growing. And it may not be, you know, like maybe it's harder to do something, but there may be something else you're learning. And so I just think that is so, so important and so true.
It certainly is. In your mind, what are the key elements to successful growth?
For me, it's knowing that there's still growth to be done, you know, and embracing that and saying I'm growing, but I still am growing. And I think for me that a lot of that's inner work, because on the outside, I can say, okay, this is what my resume or this is what my accomplishes are and I'm growing and X, Y, and Z. But so much of life is about how are we growing on the inside? How are we, like the mental tapes, the negative self-talk, those type of things. Like I recently learned that the brain has, it's like more than 50,000 thoughts a day. And 70% of them are negative. And it's just mind boggling. And so growing with that, growing with, okay, I'm being too entirely hard on myself. And I think that's so much of kind of what is the essence of growth, of like doing that inner work and not necessarily what's the external accomplishments, but what internally is what we are always working on and giving ourselves that grace.
1,000 thoughts a day. Man, if anybody was in my brain, I don't know how people would react. That makes total sense to me because my brain is, from the moment I get up till the moment I go to sleep, certain, there's so many different things that go through my brain. And yes, I come up with such cockamamie ideas sometimes, but there's always something going on. My brain is always working, and I'm always trying to figure stuff out. Any conversations that I have, I'm always trying to figure out how, oh, this person is so awesome. How can I work with this person? What can I do to collaborate with this person? My brain is always, always working. And I think that's pretty cool because when you're thinking about stuff all the time and you're thinking about who you can work with, there's so many ideas and things that go through your brain. And I feel like I learn stuff too because I always jot something down when I think of it. And then try to kind of use it maybe later on down the road or whatever. And maybe I'm not be able to work with that person, but that idea might be able to be something that I can do for sure. So I love that thought for sure, the 50,000 thoughts.
Oh, yes, yes. I know, it's fascinating. It's just like mind-boggling when you think of that and like then the connections and all the neural connections that come out of the neurons and like the billions and trillions. Like it's just mind-boggling.
Right.
So, yes. And I love the word, Andrew, cockamamie. Like, I don't hear that word. And so that was a delight.
I think, too, that the listening part, taking the time to listen to people. Whenever someone says, hey, I have some advice for you, or I have some feedback for you, are you open to feedback? I'm always open to feedback because I'm always willing to listen to whatever somebody has to say. Doesn't necessarily mean that I have to take their advice verbatim, but I'm going to listen to it.
Sure.
And I'm going to take something from their ideas. So they're taking the time to give you ideas and thoughts. That, to me, that's a caring and compassion feature of someone. So why not listen to take the advice of that person for sure?
That's a good point, Andrew. Yes. Yes. That's something I have to work on as well. And sometimes I think it's this being in the mental state of like, you know, when am I most able to receive feedback? And I love how you said like asking for, you know, like, can I give feedback? I think that's something that, I mean, like, I know like with, for example, not necessarily in the workplace, but I know this can be in the workplace as well. But like, I know like with my husband and I, we talk about that of like, is this a good time now to give you feedback? You know?
Yes.
So, like having, those are very important conversations, but yeah, like asking, when is it? You know, and listening is so under, utilized. I think that there was a study that was done in the 50s, the 1950s, that talked about listening and how it should be taught in every school. So I don't know if it was a study, but it was an article like written about it and saying listening should be taught in every school. It's so underutilized. Yes. We talk too much and listen too little, and we listen so much more when we agree and so much less when we don't agree. And I thought that was wild that it was like, gosh, this is so relevant to 2025, but it was written, you know, almost a century ago now, or half a century or whatever. And it just, something we definitely, I feel like as a society, all need to work on.
Well, for sure. And there's sometimes you're going to agree or sometimes you can disagree, but it doesn't mean that person's a bad person because they don't agree with you. I think the listening part is you can have a comfortable and informative conversation about your aspect. And for me, that the diversity of thought comes in, because just because you tell me something, Valerie, doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with it, but I'm going to definitely take it in account some of the things that you had said. And I can say, I see what Valerie's saying here, but this is my thought here. So there's some pieces of feedback that you might give me that I might say, okay, yeah, I agree with that, but maybe I may not agree with that part, but it was such great feedback. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, that's such a great point.
So, Valerie, how does diversity impact personal growth in your mind?
I mean, I think that, like you're saying, about how with growing, we all are in different places, in different seasons in our life, different experiences, where I feel like sometimes it's easy for me to be in my head and here's what I need, I'm growing on, but that may not necessarily be what someone else is growing on. And being aware of that, I think it does come back to like that listening, like we were talking about, and hearing the other person. You know, for me, I know like imperfection and struggling with that is a big thing, because that's a lot of like how I grew up and, you know, my musician self and all of that. But maybe, like, I know, like, my husband, for example, doesn't struggle as much with that. So, like, you know, listening to other people, like, what is their growth journey? You know, being accountable to each other on how we grow together, and how do we, you know, kind of embrace whatever it is that we're working on together, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And you just mentioned it right there, and I was meaning to get into it earlier. When you talked about loving music and playing an instrument, and there is a little bit of perfection in there, because if you don't hit the note properly, then the song is not going to come out the way that it's supposed to. So there's got to be some perfection there. So I think when we're talking about the impact or diversity impacts personal growth, I think we have to understand. So if I'm a leader and I have you on my team, Valerie, and I'm getting to know you, and I find out, oh, she plays a musical instrument. She almost got into that as a profession. I have to kind of look at that in a different way. And I can't treat you or talk to you the same way as someone else, because they may not have been in a different atmosphere, or they may not have been in the music business. So I have to look at that. They might have come from a different country, so I may have to look at them differently. So that's kind of my thought process there, is understanding that, hey, Valerie's down because she was working on this project and it didn't go well, and she just gets upset when things are not going her way. I have to understand that as a leader, and I have to be willing to listen to that and to build you back up again, to say, hey, you know, it's okay. You know, you tried it. It was an idea. It didn't work out. Let's learn for the next time. There's some aspects of what you did that we could probably take to go further into things the next time. So it's just a way of doing stuff, but the understanding of the individual and knowing who they are, where they came from, what they dealt with in the past is super key for sure.
Yes. I think that's such a great point, Andrew. And I love the way you said that, because yeah, I think that's so true. Like with music, like there is so much of that perfection, is as close to perfection as possible is essentially what we are trained to do, or what I was, you know, felt like I needed to do. And so when I get, I expect constructive criticism, but I also expect myself to always be as close to perfection as possible. So I can, yeah. It can be harder for me when I hear that, but may not necessarily be for someone else if their bar isn't at this like 99.9% all the time. And I think that is such a good point. Yeah. So I think that's great, Andrew.
Yeah. And we have to have a little bit of compassion too, because I think we're afraid to be vulnerable and we're afraid to show compassion. And we have to understand it didn't go well. Valerie, I don't need to beat you down. You already know that.
Yeah.
I need to do the building up part, not the beating down part.
Yep. So true. So true. I think that's spot on, Andrew.
So in closing, Valerie, what is one takeaway that you want our audience to get from this episode?
I would say, with growth in general, I really think about my garden and how I grow, and literally taking that into life, because again, so much we can learn from this world. And the seeds that can be grown, if you visualize a seed, it's so small, and you know that when you plant that seed, you have to tend to it, give it sunlight, give it proper nourishment, but also there's a part of it that you can't keep like digging it up either. You can't keep controlling it. You have to step back a little bit. You have to let it grow on its own, but also nourish it. And I think that's so much of what we're doing all the time with ourselves. And sometimes ideas we have, things that we're working on, are they're very little, they're very small. Sometimes we can feel that like they're insignificant, but everything starts from, so much of life starts from something small. And if you keep building it, you keep working on it, it can be incredible and it can be so beautiful. And so I think that would be my takeaway of just, looking at this world, looking around you as to like how amazing it all is and how we can all truly make a difference, even if it is starting from a little seed.
I love that comparison. And I love the fact that you're talking about the seeds growing too. When you're building a home, we need that foundation in order to help that home grow. If we don't have the foundation, then we're not going to be able to build it and it's not going to be able to grow. So you mentioned you had 3 children earlier in the episode today. You have to help them with their growth and their mindset and teaching them. I talk about leaders. You and your husband are parent leaders as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And you're helping your children grow. So that is super important as well to understand. They were little seeds and now they're growing into adults, and you're seeing every day how they're growing and how their mind works and what they're thinking. And that is super cool to see that. And sure, you're going to be curious to see what they grow or how they grow up or what they become when they get older. So it's going to be interesting for sure.
Absolutely. Yes. I think that's such a great point. The flowers that we are growing and like how one flower is different than the, like every kid's different, everyone's different, and they're all beautiful.
So I want to take the time to thank you for coming on today, Valerie. I'm going to give you your flowers today. You are such a kind individual and so supportive to people that you're connected to. And I just love that about you. The stuff that you put out there in the universe, in the LinkedIn universe, is so kind and compassionate and supportive. And I could just see that with everything that you do and everybody that you're connected to. I am so honored to be part of that group and part of your community. And I'm super happy that we got the chance to have this conversation today. So thank you for your time. And thank you for your commitment to showing people empathy and compassion.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I am so, so glad that we were able to have this conversation. And for all that you're doing, I think that you are just an incredible soul and you're doing such incredible work. And I am honored to share this journey with you and with everyone else and create ripple effects together. And it all starts with our pond and creating ripple effects, and it continues to move forward. So thank you so much, Andrew.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. On behalf of myself and my guest, Valerie, I'd like to take the time to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, be safe and remember, everyone, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.